Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. Brad Huskin is our guest and our good friend. He's the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. He's one of our top salesmanship experts. He travels the world talking to people about how to improve their selling, how to improve their sales staff, how to make sure they take care of their customers and service them within an inch of their lives. And he's our good friend. Brad, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's a pleasure to be back with you again.
It's always a pleasure to have you back on the show because you talk about things that are very important, that are things that I really like talking about a lot, and those two things are salesmanship and taking care of our customers.
Absolutely. Putting the money in the bank.
Absolutely.
Kind of what it's all about, isn't it?
That's right. there is that thing, isn't there? There is that collecting the money part. I always forget about that.
Well, that is the difficult part.
There is that one other detail, that no question about it. One of the things that I know you do a lot of, Brad, is something that I was trained to do a long time ago, and it's really one of the areas I think that's missed a lot of times, especially in small business, and that's the area of role-playing to improve our salesmanship abilities.
Well, you're exactly right, and that's where I wanted to spend the half hour this morning is talking about the whole training process and how important role-playing is and where that fits into the spectrum of what people need to do to get their sales staff's trained and up to speed and being able to not only retain the information but to apply the information when it counts, when they're dealing with the customer.
You know, let's take a couple of scenarios here. One's for the ladies and one's for the guys. If a guy was watching a football team practice and he watched them go through some plays, some specific plays that they were going to be running on Saturday, he would nod his head and say, that's what I would do. If a lady was planning a wedding, she wouldn't think about having a wedding without having the rehearsal on Friday, the night before, would she?
Well, probably not. The man would probably be thinking about the rehearsal dinner.
That's exactly right. But the point is that in other aspects of our lives, we practice and we role play, don't we?
Well, I couldn't imagine giving a teenager a driver's license today without them having a training period.
Absolutely.
Prior to actually getting their driver's license.
So what makes us think that our salesmen, our salespeople, salesmen and women, should be able to go outside and take their kit bag with our goodies in them and do a good job without some kind of practicing?
Well, that's one of the things that has baffled mankind forever, is how these people that are in business, and especially small businesses, I'm not saying this to pick on anybody, but notoriously they're famous for hiring people not knowing if they're any good.
Well, I haven't picked on small businesses today. Let's pick on them a little bit.
Oh, okay. Well, they hire people not knowing if they're any good, then they never check, and then they don't do anything to help them get better, and then they wonder why business may be a little bit tough.
Yeah, I wonder what's the problem here. It must be that salesperson, right?
It could be. And that's where I really believe there are five criteria for training somebody. And I'll just run through those five criteria real quick, then we can go back and elaborate on each of them. And as number one, the student has to hear the information. They have to write the information. They have to read the information. Then they have to role play it. Then they have to do it in real live presentations. And those are the five criteria. And if they hit all five of those, the chances of being able to apply the information and retain it for the long term is greatly enhanced, I believe.
Well, say number five again.
They have to do it in real life situations. So they have to hear it, they got to read it, they got to write it, they got to role play it, and they got to do it.
Yeah.
Have to be observed actually doing what it is that we're asking them to
do. So write those things down, folks. They're really easy. Write this, this is about six words. Hear, write, read, role play, and then do it.
Exactly.
And the reason I want you to write that down is, and then I want you to think about what your organization has done with regard to these. Have you told them? Have they written it down? Have they read what you told them and what's been put before them? And have they practiced it? And are they doing it? And if you're, you know, I think probably if you look at yourself hard, if you look at your organization, you know, very critically, you might see that you're missing one of these. And if you leave one out, it's sort of like leaving the chain out of a link out of a chain, isn't it?
Oh, that's exactly right. And the main point that they need to remember is that everybody learns differently. For example, if I'm reading a book, once I get to the bottom of the page, I can't remember what the top of the page said. But if I hear the information, that's a whole different ballgame.
Hold on, and we'll talk some more about Brad's learning disabilities right after this message. It's 2010. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us.
There's a black man with black hair.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Jeffrey Zabar will join us, and we're talking about home-based business issues as well as telecommuting issues, teleworking issues. And then after that, we're going to be visiting with one of our resident bankers, Mike Menzies. He's going to talk to us about how small business owners are doing these days with their banking relationships. And then after that, we're going to be visiting with some of the folks from Kiplinger. And let me see who's going to be here. I'm trying to think. Joan's out, and I'll think of who's going to be replacing her in just a minute. I just, for some reason, his name has left me, but I'll think of that in just a minute. Brad Huskin is our guest. He's the author of I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, and we're talking about salesmanship. Brad, I was teasing you about your learning disability that you mentioned, but it's really true, isn't it? I mean, some people do well to read when they read things. Some people need to hear it. Some people need to write it. Some people have to practice it. I mean, you could have a person that in your sales force that's a great candidate, it's a great person to sell for you, but you're just not giving them the information. If you are at all, you're not giving it to them in the way that helps them to learn.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's where those five training criteria actually hit all of the senses, so that no matter what type of a learner you are, we've hit the sense that you're most capable of learning from.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I have trouble learning through reading, but there's no problem if I hear the information. If I plug in a set of tapes or something like that and listen to it in the car, then my retention value is much higher, it seems like. So.
Well, the other thing is, the good thing about where role play is so important to this whole process, if you do role play, that's when you find out that this person needs to hear it or read it or write it.
Well,
because it breaks down, and if you don't do role play, here's the thing. Here's where, Brad, I think this is an important point to make. Your employees are going to do role playing one way or the other. The question is, are they going to do it in front of you or a trainer so you can find out, so it doesn't cost too much, or are you going to let them role play in front of real customers and blow the whole thing?
Yeah, we call that practicing on the public.
Practicing on the public, that's
exactly
great.
Exactly, and I don't initially want to go to a doctor where I have to have my appendix out, and he says, oh, goody, this is my first one. I can't wait. And that, too often that's what we do in the sales spectrum, is that we practice on our customers rather than practicing with one another. And it's amazing, if you role-play scenarios enough, the customers start following along with the role-plays.
Yeah.
And then you've handled that situation many times before.
Absolutely.
And while it may seem uncomfortable, I've started having people actually write out the role plays, because then they're more comfortable with the role play that they're going to deliver. It becomes more second nature to them, and they have the confidence to be able to deliver the information. So even if you're one that has trouble role playing, if you just write down the scenario, it seems to come easier that way.
If you've hired a trainer, they'll know how to do role playing.
Well,
Brad,
I hope so.
But what if you don't have a trainer and you're just doing it in-house? How do you conduct a role play?
Well, my suggestion is to take it in small segments, and just to use my training process, because I'm a little bit prejudiced toward it, if we were to talk about just the concept of initial contact with a customer, whether it be the telephone or in a face-to-face conversation or somebody coming to your office place, what are you going to say to them initially? How are you going to break the ice? What questions are you going to ask them to find out what's going on in their heads? And then role-play those questions. And then role-play all different types of answers and scenarios that could come as a result of the questions that you're asking. And that's what I mean. If you role-play this enough, the customers tend to start following the role-play. And I believe in sales, there's always a logical sequence of next best questions. So if we're demonstrating a product, for example, and we say, well, what's important in selecting this product? And then we have the customer tell us what's important. Then we lead into our demonstration using these small little snippets along the way. Then, again, the retention is higher. And then I would role play little various examples of different objections that the customer is giving. And if you get 5 or 10 different objections on a regular basis, role play how you would handle those things and analyze what went wrong and what you may need to do differently to overcome the objection, so to speak.
One of the things that's important, it seems to me, and I've done a lot of role playing, I've participated in a lot of role playing, and I've conducted a lot of role playing as a trainer. And one of the things that seems to me that's very important component of a role play is something that also creates some consternation for some people, and that's the audience. You need an audience, don't you?
You need an audience, and you need the audience to subjectively review and critique the role play, because sometimes what you say isn't what people hear, and that's happening in the sales situation as well. With communication, perception is reality. Mm-hmm. And what you think you said may not be what the customer actually perceived that you said.
Right.
So if you have somebody watching you, then there you go.
Well, and you may be saying things that are incorrect, and you don't realize that you're saying it incorrectly, and there could be a kiss of death with the customer. But one of the things I think, Brad, that's really important in a role play is that whoever's conducting them, whoever's in charge of the whole situation, does it with fun, that you make sure that it's lighthearted, that whenever everybody gets a chance to laugh at each other or even especially to you, the trainer, or whatever, make sure that we do it in fun, and there's nobody's taking it personally, and it's done in such a way that whenever somebody messes up, you can have a little fun with it. You
Absolutely.
Can actually use humor as a teaching mechanism, can't you?
Absolutely, and I give people predetermined role-play scenarios where I'll actually write down the scenario, and I put some humor into those things, and it's amazing once people mess up a couple of times and have some fun laughing at themselves, how comfortable they become.
Absolutely. Stand by. A quick break. 10 till. By the way, Ken Dalecki is our old buddy from Kiplinger. He's the guy who's going to be with us in the Kiplinger Hour coming up in the next show. And we'll be right back with our good friend Brad Huskin. Stay with us. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget, you've still got time to subscribe to the newsletter and get this week's article, which is focused on the 4th of July. The title is called We Began with Freedom. But I want you to also know about Brad Huskin's website, because it's an outstanding one. It's a place where you can go and subscribe to his free weekly e-zine, which I certainly recommend. It's short and sweet, focusing on customers, focusing on sales abilities, and you can also find out more about his book, I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD. Brad, give us that website, please.
Well, the website's www.iastraining.com, and you mentioned newsletter. I do have a free newsletter called Sales Insight that we email or fax every week to people that want to subscribe to that, and the price is right. It's free, so you can't beat that.
Exactly. And they can also buy your book, I'm a Salesman, Not a PhD, there.
Yeah, and I did want to just briefly mention my second book is going to print hopefully this week. I've got my fingers crossed. And the name of that is Munchies for Salespeople.
Yeah.
Selling tips you can sink your teeth into.
It's a good one, too, folks. And I've gotten a little pre-look at it, and we'll be telling you more about that so you can know more about how to find that. Stay
As
tuned
a matter
for
fact,
that.
I do believe that the foreword is by the Small Business Advocate, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, how'd you get him to do that? He's really expensive, isn't he, to get, do stuff like that?
Exactly right. And while I got a minute, I just want to say hello to BFF, because I know she's out there listening.
All right. Sounds
okay.
Good. Okay, what are we going to do about these people who in our organization who just can't, they just freeze up? The idea of role-playing in front of an audience, I mean, it just makes them nuts. What do we do about those guys?
Well, and that's where I said, with the situation where you get people that are nervous and they freeze up in those kinds of situations, if you have them write down the scenario and you separate them into groups of two, you have one person that is the customer, one person is the salesperson, and the person that kind of freezes up a little bit, make them the customer in the first experience doing a role play.
Let them do their worst on somebody else. Is that
exactly
what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
That's a good idea.
And once they become comfortable being the customer, because they're playing a role that they can have some fun with. And I have two roles when it comes to role playing. Number one is be nice. Don't be the most obnoxious customer you've ever waited on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And try to keep it relatively clean.
Right.
Other than that,
relatively clean.
And people tend to have a lot of fun with those things. So.
Another thing you need to do, I found it's always been good, Brad, and I'm sure you do this, is whenever you are doing the role plays, before you do them, let the audience know without the two participants being in the room. I always send the customer and the salesperson outside, and while they're there, I tell the audience what to look for. All right, this is what's going to happen. I've told the customer to do this. Watch for that and pay attention when this happens so that you see what the salesperson does and write down what you thought they did. And maybe I'll ask this person to check for the right pros. I'll ask that one, another one to check if they closed well. In other words, I'll give each one of them sort of an assignment. What do you think about that idea?
Well, that's exactly what I was saying with the predetermined role plays that I hand out. The customer gets the sample of the role play and what role they're going to play, and the audience gets that. Then the name of the game is to see if the salesperson actually gets all the information that's written down in the role-play scenario through the process of role-playing and asking questions and doing all those kinds of things. And that's what really makes it kind of fun, is when everybody's participating and everybody's playing the game and everybody's involved in the process.
Folks, if you're not selling enough stuff, if you're not getting enough of the right kind of stuff, they're selling, but they're not selling the stuff that you make money on. If for whatever reason your company is not accomplishing your sales goals, it very well may be that you got the right horses, you just haven't trained them right.
That's pretty much the case in a lot of situations.
And that's where I'm going to say that you need help with that. And that's the reason why you got guys like Brad Huskin. There are a lot of other folks out there, in addition to Brad, who will help you with this. Maybe you got a local person, or you can talk to them or whatever you need to do. But get your people some training. Brad, this is one of the areas that I think small business owners fail in abjectly, and that is not giving their employees, whether it be for sales training or otherwise, not giving them enough training.
Well, one of the things that I just want to mention that's so important is when I'm doing a public seminar, I always ask the group, how many of you can name the last 10 books on salesmanship that you actually read?
Mm-hmm.
And it's frightening how many people have never even read a book on salesmanship, and yet they're in that business.
Mm-hmm.
If they, I'm not saying you have to hire me, but you should certainly read some books and go out and get yourself some knowledge and information, because it's available out there, and there's some great stuff out there.
And get it for
yours and mine.
Get it for your people to make sure you do that. Buy a dozen of them if you get a chance.
Absolutely.
Brad, thank you. Thank you for being here. Good job today.
It's been my pleasure, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Brad Huskin,
right,
ladies and gentlemen,
care.
That's IAStraining.com. Check that out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to his free newsletter. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.